Good morning. Welcome to our worship here in Kemeny Parish Church. Welcome to all of you who are here. Welcome to everyone who's watching on the live stream, and especially our friends at Littlewood Court. And also welcome to everyone who's watching on the catch-up service. So, welcome, and welcome to any visitors amongst us as well. Just start with some intimations. You've all got the order sheet, so you've got all the intimations. I'll just point out a couple of them. First one is that the men's group is taking place this Tuesday on the 22nd of October at 7 p.m. And the speaker is about hospital chaplaincy. And if you want to come, could you let Leslie Mackay know, please? Leslie Mackay is sitting there. And it's welcome to everyone. As long as you're a man. Okay. Sorry about that. We have had some women sneak in before, and it's just not the same. Next Sunday is Super Sunday, so it's a special time for people to gather up at the church centre and have a more informal time of worship. And there's also going to be a shared lunch after that as well. So the shared lunch is open to everybody, of course, as indeed is meeting up at the church centre for the service itself. But if you'd like to come along to that, who do we let know? There's Ishbel waving. Okay, yes. I think you need a high visibility vest so that they can... High or loud voice, okay, thanks. So the shared lunch then, and the other things are here, but I do have a very sad announcement to make, which I think a lot of people already know about, and that's the very sad death of our sister Jo Black earlier this week. It's upset an awful lot of us, and as a result of that experience, I actually changed the service for today to reflect the situation rather than just carry on with what was planned. But I also have an announcement about the funeral for Jo, and it's going to take place at the Aberdeen Crematorium in the East Chapel at 10 a.m. next Friday the 24th, and then afterwards at the church centre. So everybody is welcome to that. The other thing is just to finish is to remind people that there will be an opportunity to pray with somebody after the service if you so wish, and it'll be Judith and David, who, and not me this day, David Hendricks and Judith, my wife, are going to be available over here. So if anybody wants to pray after the service, there's an opportunity to do so in that side of the church. If there's more people want to pray than people available, you can always pray together. It doesn't have to be a designated person. We can all pray with one another. So those are the intimations. God is here with us. He understands who we are. He understands where we're coming from. He understands our mood. He understands all upsets and everything. God is here. We're going to sing our first hymn, which is Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Come thou before Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord, as we gather in worship this morning, we mourn for the loss of our dear friend, Joe Black. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Joe's life. We thank you for the kind and loving person you made her to be. And we thank you for the countless ways that you have blessed us and our church through Joe's life. Lord, we admit that at times like this, it is hard and maybe even impossible to come to you with thankful hearts. Many of our hearts are filled with pain and grief this morning. But Lord, we thank you that we don't have to put on a happy face when we come to you. Lord, you see into our hearts. You see us as we truly are, and you call us to come to you, not as we should be, not as we would like to be, but as we are. So Lord, we come to you this morning as we are. We come to you this morning with our cares, with our burdens, with our grief, and we lay them on you. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who carries our burdens because you care for us. We thank you that you are not a God who stands far off and removed from our pain, but that you are a God who enters into our pain with us. Lord, you weep with us when we weep. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you emptied yourself for us. You took on human form, and you became obedient to the point of death on a cross. Lord Jesus, you were despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you can relate to us in the depths of our suffering because you experienced the depths of our suffering on the cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to the grave for us, but you didn't stay in the grave. No, on the third day, you rose again. In your resurrection, you defeated death. You defeated suffering. You defeated all the powers of darkness. Lord Jesus, we thank you that because you rose from the grave, we too will rise from our own graves, and we will worship you in your kingdom forever. Father, we pray that as we continue in worship this morning, we would know your comfort and the peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, that surpasses all understanding. Please anoint David with your Holy Spirit as he shares your word with us this morning. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who, when we pray, taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
One of the joys of our faith is that God has brought us together as a family. He's brought us together to love each other and to support each other. And that's a very practical thing in all circumstances of life, that God is here amongst us. So we're going to sing the next hymn, which is Let There Be Love Shared Among Us.
Thank you.
Well, now is the time of the children's talk, and we have some children. Hooray! I'm very pleased about that. Would you like to come out and join me, please? Right. If you sit down, I'm going to put that there. Do you want to come one on either side? Right. Can you remind your names, please? Just so all the congregation knows your names. And your name is?
Lucy.
Lucy? Phoebe. Lucy and Phoebe. So welcome to Lucy and Phoebe. I knew your mum when she was about that big, you know. I haven't got any older myself, mind. It's not true. Right. I'm going to tell you a story, and I've got some friends to help me. Hello. So, you might want to zoom in so that everyone can see, because glove puppets aren't actually very large, are they? What sort of glove puppet is this? I mean, what sort of animal is this? A frog? A frog? A crocodile. Yes, it's a crocodile. But is everything all right with a crocodile? Is he looking a bit sad? Is he looking a bit sad? Yes, he is. Ah, thank you very much, somebody. Because the trouble is, there's something under here. Well, shall I tell you why I'm sad? Shall I tell you? It's because I had something very special in a bowl I wanted to share with you, and then out of nowhere, this great big bowl came on top of it, and I can't get in, and I need somebody to help me. Do you think somebody could help me? Yes, good. I'm glad about that. Because if you look the other way, that's the trouble. What I need is a booth. Okay. Oh, hello. What do you think I am then? You're not very quick, are you? I'm not a frog. A bird, yep. I'm a galah. I'm all the way from Australia. Hello. Oh, what's that down there?
Hello, Mr. Galah. I wonder if you can help me.
Help you? Well, who are you?
I'm a crocodile.
Oh. I remember something about crocodiles. You should never smile at a crocodile.
But I'm a very friendly crocodile.
No, you shouldn't be friendly with a crocodile either. I think I'm not going to stay and help you. I'm going to fly away. Goodbye.
Oh, but I haven't even got any teeth.
So why was he frightened of him?
Oh, let's see if I can get in here, because I really want to share these things with you.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll just go and lie down a moment.
Seamless, eh? Right.
Hello.
Oh, I've got dozens of these things, you know.
My name is, what do you think I am?
A what?
A sloth.
What do you think?
An otter. I'm a mole.
Hello, mole. Oh, hello, crocodile, my old friend. How are you doing?
I'm actually a bit sad because I'm trying to get into this pot and I need someone to help me.
Oh, do you? I'd really love to help you, you know. I really would, but I'm very busy. I'm actually late for an appointment. I've actually got to go and meet some friends of mine, other moles. We found this wonderful lawn that needs some help. They tell me it's a completely flat lawn, completely green, got no daisies, no buttercups or anything in it. It's totally boring.
and the people who own it are away, so we're going to give them a nice surprise when they get back. And I've got to go and get there. But could you just help me a minute, please? No, I'm sorry, I really haven't got time. I'd really love to help you. We've got to go and dig and make some molehills, lots of them. They'll be so rejoicing when they get back, won't they? So I'm going off to do that. But I will be thinking about you, and I hope you get under there very soon. What do you think of that? Was Mole very helpful? He wasn't helpful at all, but he said he was thinking about him. Was that nice?
Yeah.
That was nice, but he didn't do anything about it, did he? I'm just going to have a lie down again. Right, here we go. I'll have my own television show soon. Well, not that anyone would watch, but... Hello? Who's this? Oh, hooray! I'm a dog, yes. My name is Dogger. And I really am very excited today because I've got lots and lots of things to do. But, oh, hello. Oh, hello, Dogger. I wonder if you could help me. Oh, what's the matter? I've got something under here that I want to share with people, but this horrible pot came down on top of it. Oh, do you want some help? Was that a good thing to ask? Yes. Oh, yes, please, if you could do this. Right, let's hope this works. Oh, great, thank you so much. Well, thank you, it's really a pleasure to help you. Oh, what are these? They're sultanas. Would you like some sultanas? Would you like sultanas? How did you bring up your children? Well, after all that effort. But can I ask you something? When Crocodile was asking for help, who was the one that really cared for him and helped him?
The dog.
The dog. So there was somebody who just ignored him and went away. There was somebody who said, I'll think about you and I hope it all goes well. But did they do anything helpful? No, so they didn't really care, did they? So the only one who cared was Dog, was Dogger. And you all recognize Dogger. That's really good. So one of the things that God wants us to do is to always look after each other and always care for each other. And when we can do something to help, to really do it. Not just talk about it or think about it, but really care. So that's just something that I want you to take away with you today. Okay? Okay, thank you very much for helping. You want to go and sit down? Keeping these on for the rest of the service, actually. Right. So, as I said, God really wants us to look after each other and to care for each other in all circumstances, whether it's practical things, whether it's things that are emotional, or whatever. So he really gives us this commandment, which is to love one another. And by loving one another, it's a real witness to God's love for us, that we're his people. So we're going to sing the song, A New Commandment.
You
We've got two readings this morning. The first is from John chapter 6, verse 28 to 51, and that's on page 1070. So I invite you to follow along in the Bibles that you'll find next to your seats. So John chapter 6, verse 28, on page 1070. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And just to save my voice, David is going to read the second reading. You get two Davids this morning.
Our second reading this morning comes from John 11, verses 20 through 37, and that can be found on page 1078 of the Church Bibles, if you'd like to follow along with me. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Mary answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he who opened the eyes of the blind man not have kept this man from dying?" This is the word of the Lord.
Hey, David. When we come together, we worship the living God. We worship God who knows us, who created us, who loves us and sustains us. And one of the greatest gifts that he gives us is the ability to be able to trust him and trust him for all things. So we're going to sing the next hymn, which is, "I Am Trusting Thee."
Pray.
Lord, thank you that you are here amongst us. Thank you that you have given us your word to trust. Thank you that your word meets all our needs. And Lord, please speak to us now. Help us to know your love with us. Help us to know your comfort. And help us to know your hope. Please open our ears to hear you and our hearts to receive you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the biggest challenge that faces all human beings is the challenge of facing up to our mortality and bereavement. And as I said earlier, many of us have been deeply affected by the sudden illness and death of our sister, Jo Black. And for others, this sad event will have evoked sad memories of other bereavements that they've had in their lives. And in response to that, I really want to look at these two passages that we've read this morning, because these passages give us comfort and hope in the face of sadness, because we put our hope in our God. The first passage is from John chapter 6, and this passage tells us who Jesus is and introduces his promise of bringing eternal life into the world. Now, I invite you to pick up your Bibles that are next to you and just follow through, because it's really important to look at the words themselves that Jesus says. So it's John chapter 6. And just a little bit of background. This incident occurs the day after Jesus has performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And so he's performed a fantastic miracle that really astounded the people around him. And in many ways, you'd think that that miracle was enough just to say, this person must be God, he must be the Messiah. But they still had questions. So people came to Jesus with a question. And the first question they asked is in verse 28, what must we do to do the work that God requires? Or what, in other words, what must we do to please and honor God? The people knew that Jesus was an extraordinary teacher as well as a miracle worker. And when they asked him this question, I don't think they really expected the answer that he gave them. In verse 29, Jesus said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." I think that was a surprising answer, because I'm sure they expected something about working or doing something with their own efforts, or something about their approach to worship, or even about standing up to the occupying Roman authorities. But instead, Jesus gave them an answer which pointed towards believing in a person, and the implication being that Jesus was saying, believe in me. So believe in Jesus. So he was saying that honoring God would mean believing in Jesus as the one God has sent, in believing in Jesus as the one that God has sent. And they knew that Jesus was implying that he was the long promised Messiah. This was a momentous claim, so they asked for a sign that could help them to believe that Jesus was something even more than a prophet, miracle worker, and teacher. They wanted to know that they could believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the promised Savior. So given the enormity and significance of the claim that Jesus was making, the sign that they were asking for had to be of equal significance. So they looked back to something very significant that had demonstrated the lordship of God in their early history. And the sign they wanted Jesus to compare with was the giving of manna during the journey through the desert after the Exodus from Egypt. When the Israelites left Egypt, they had left behind slavery. And that seemed like a good thing, doesn't it? But they also left behind the familiarity of the Egyptian civilization and the regular provision of food and shelter. It was all well and good being freed from slavery, but what was it that they were being freed towards? After the Exodus, they found themselves in the desert, with a long, arduous journey ahead of them. and there were thousands of people and thousands of animals to support. How would they survive in the desert? How could they avoid starvation? Was God really leading them to freedom, or was it all a big mistake, this Exodus? And so they grumbled against God and Moses. And at that time, God responded to them by saying, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you." And then he miraculously provided them with a food that had never been seen before. And this bread from heaven was called manna. And God provided food in the form of manna daily throughout the Israelites' journey through the desert. And this provision at that time confirmed that it was indeed Yahweh, the living God, who had brought them out of Egypt. And it was Yahweh, the Lord of lords and King of kings, who was leading them from slavery in Egypt to freedom, and freedom in the land that had been promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their forefathers. So now Jesus was being challenged to come up with a sign that matched the giving of manna. That's quite a demand, isn't it? So really they're saying, how do we know that we can believe in you? What miraculous sign will you give us? Moses gave us manna, bread from heaven. What can you give us? So Jesus answered them. And in verse 32, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus is saying here that there is bread from heaven even more important than manna. And this bread from heaven is a person who will not just give sustenance to the Israelites, but will give sustenance for the whole world. And then in verse 35, Jesus clearly identifies himself as the bread of life. "I am the bread of life," he said. "He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And what's Jesus doing here? He's proclaiming himself as God's greatest provision for the world, a provision that will satisfy our hunger and thirst for righteousness, a provision that will give us hope and confidence to follow him and to know the Father himself. And then Jesus goes further in verse 40. "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What amazing words these are, and I'll just repeat them. "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The people who heard this at the time could not really have understood what this meant, but it was absolutely clear that Jesus was referring to himself. He then expands his teaching in verse 44. "If you say you believe in the Father," and they all said they did that, "you will also believe in me. The Father will draw you to me and teach you his way of life." Jesus then emphasizes that he is much greater than the sign of manna. "Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." And then in verse 47 and following, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, my life, which I will give for the life of the world." The truth of what Jesus was saying can only really be verified with absolute confidence by what happened at the climax of his ministry. namely his death to free us from the slavery of sin and death, and his bodily resurrection and ascension to free us for a living and unhindered eternal relationship with God himself, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the hope that there is for all of us if we put our faith in Christ. For everyone who believes in Christ, death is not the end. Paul puts it in his letter to 1 Corinthians, and I'll just read that to you. He says, "We won't all die. Some of us might be here when Jesus returns, but we will all be changed to be like Jesus. We will bear the likeness of the man from heaven." And in verse 51 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, he says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What amazing words they are. And this is a very real hope for us all as believers. So our transition from the weakness of sin to the strength and security of holiness before God in Christ is what Jesus is going to bring about at our own resurrection. And that motivates us to live for him here and now. So Jesus encourages us in this passage from John chapter 6 to embrace this most precious hope as we turn to Christ again, or even turn to him for the first time in our lives. He invites us to come to himself, to know the Father. So this is our hope. This is our hope for eternity. And John 6 is very helpfully encouraging, but it is conceptual and theological in some ways, with a hope for eternity. But what of life now and the tragedy of facing both our own mortality and the grief of bereavement? Does our Lord expect us not to grieve because we know that he will raise us up on the last day? Well, the answer lies in the second passage that we looked at. So if you turn now to John chapter 11. This is a very well-known story, and I'm just going to look at one part of it. This is the story of how Lazarus had died, how Jesus goes to the tomb, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And he proves that he has the authority over sin and death, and that Jesus has the authority to give us life. I don't want to look at the whole story, I just want to look at part of it. And it's really Jesus' interaction with Mary and Martha. So when Jesus arrived at the house of Lazarus, he knew in advance that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. But he also arrived as a real person, a warm, sensitive, loving, and caring human being. Jesus didn't just go as God, he went as a caring, loving human being. That's really important for us to hold on to. Martha met him first and challenged Jesus. And effectively she used the words, "Lord, why did you not come sooner? If you'd been here, he would not have died." Quite challenging words, because she knew that Jesus was quite capable of healing people. And he could have done that for Lazarus if he'd come along earlier. So her challenge was from the heart. She really meant it. But then she says, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." The conversation that follows then led to Jesus' authoritative statement in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives in me will never die. Do you believe this? It was a big question, and one that applies to us today. Do we believe this? Can we say with Martha, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Saviour, the Son of God, who has come into the world"? If we can echo Martha's declaration of trust, Jesus' promise of resurrection and life is in itself a source of great comfort for us. But what of that devastating experience of grief that Jesus met in Lazarus' household? What did Jesus do when he saw Mary and her grieving companions all weeping? Did he rebuke them? Did he start to teach them theology? No, Jesus wept with them. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who would conquer sin and death, entered into and shared their grief with them. Jesus wept. Jesus wept as a man. Jesus wept as a man because he felt the visceral impact of the loss and grief of the sisters and their friends. Moreover, he shared in this grief with them. He actually shared in it with them. And Jesus is the same today. He's now at the right hand of God, and he still knows and shares our grief with us. He loves us and brings his comfort to us through the Holy Spirit and through the support of his people. Jesus also wept as God. He wept for his creatures who had to go through this process of grief and death as the result of sin. This was not what he had ever wanted for his creation. And Jesus still hates the consequences of sin and weeps for his people. Jesus also wept as fully God and fully man. By being fully God and fully man, he could extend courageous, confident, and effective compassion to Martha's household, because he was soon to go through his own death and resurrection to conquer sin and death for the world. Jesus is the only one who can fully bear the experience and implications of death, because he knows that his death and resurrection break the power of sin and death. He can fully face death because he's the only one who can transform it to bring us into the presence of God the Father. And this is eternal life, and it's eternal life which starts when we believe in him. And in conclusion, this is our hope for all of us as believers. Death is real, it's horrible, but Jesus gives us hope if we trust in him and give our lives to him. Grief and loss are real, and they're horrible, but Jesus is with us in our grief and brings his comfort as well as hope. And Jesus has placed us in fellowship with other believers as a family to support and comfort one another with his love and hope. May we know the living presence of Jesus with us in our grief, and may we all know his hope and comfort, and share this hope and comfort with those around us in our fellowship here and with the world around us. Amen. We're now going to sing a hymn which actually incorporates the words of Jesus, "I am the bread of life." So shall we stand and sing, "I am the bread of life"?
rather than lead us through a whole prayer for the world this morning, I'm just going to give us a couple minutes to all pray in our own hearts for things that are weighing on us, and then I will come up again and close us in prayer together. So let's all bow our heads and pray for the things that are on our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers of petition. You see the things that weigh on our hearts this morning. You hear our prayers for our friends and our family, for our church and our community, for our nation and for our world. Lord, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done in all of these places. Would your kingdom come and your will be done in the lives of our loved ones, in our church, in our village, in our world? Where there is pain, would you bring comfort and healing? Where there is darkness, would you let your light shine? Would the salvation you accomplished for us in your death and your resurrection touch every part of our lives, every part of our world. Lord, we hope in you. Thank you for being our rock and our salvation, our very present help in trouble. Amen.
Thank you, David. At the end of the passage from 1 Corinthians 15 that I read out, where Paul tells of us being changed, being transformed by Christ, his conclusion is, "Therefore, my brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." The hymn we're going to sing now, "Speak, O Lord," is about God speaking to us and guiding us, giving us his hope, but also directing our lives that we can live to glorify him, to love each other, and to care for each other. So we're going to close with this hymn, "Speak, O Lord." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Lord, enable us to believe you. Enable us to believe that you are our Lord and Savior, that you are the one who will transform us to make us into your likeness. And Lord, may we live in this hope, and may you transform our lives here and now, that you will build your church, and that we will bring your glory to the world around. And may the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, each and every one of us, now and forevermore.